jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning there, folks. It's the 8th day of May 2018. The Lord's not making another one. And man, I just had an experience here. I just got punched by the Holy Spirit. The guys who were in the queue here this morning, I think they saw it happen. And wow, crazy when that kind of stuff. Whew. So we're going to dive into that a little bit here today. Man, I'm sitting on my back porch. This is how the whole thing started for me this morning. I'm sitting on my back porch, folks. If you could see, you can see my back porch. My wife and I, we downsized. I guess that's our intention was to downsize. What we wanted to do. And so my daughter and her husband bought 14 and a half acres and they built a home on it. And from the time they built the home on it, I could see this little place where we were going to downsize and be on the same property with them. And we did, and we completed that home. And it's like my back deck is like you're in the middle of the woods, and it's just amazing. And I walked out there this morning and it's getting green. It's been such a slow spring here in Ohio, and all of a sudden spring has sprung. And it used to just be woods, and you could see everything through the woods. Now it's woods, but it's green woods, and you can't see anything in there. And I was just sitting back there and just having a lot of thoughts running through my head today about just a lot of it. And I came on here, and before we went on the air, I shared something with the guys, and boom, man, the Holy Spirit hit me. And I don't want to, I'm not at liberty. I just don't want to talk to you about what it was, but I want to be able to share something with you today. Crazy stuff has always gone on in the world. I was sitting in my house last night. Oh, I got to go to this. Don't let me forget this. Charles Jennings, Truth and History Magazine. If you're not getting this, peek around the corner here. If you're not getting this, it's free. We had Pastor Jennings on earlier, a year ago, maybe it was now. We'll share something out of this to you. Oh, man. Sitting around last night, spent the day yesterday mowing my grass and doing some stuff that you got to do when you've been away for a couple of days. Just kind of sitting around listening to Hagman and Hagman report. And about 7:15, 7:20, Doug Hagman goes on one of, I don't know if you guys have ever heard him, he goes on one of his fits, throws one of his fits. And out of nowhere, I hear him say, "We need America's coach." And of course, I knew who that was. And it was like two seconds later, my phone rang. It was John Robertson, the producer, says, "Hey, can you come on?" And so I went on with Doug and Joe Hagman last night about 7:30. I always thank God just that they give us that platform. And man, oh man, did it rip. Did it rip last night. I hope you get a chance today to go listen to that. It's worth your time. Just from the Holy Spirit, just out of my heart to the Holy Spirit. And then that was followed by one of the most captivating things that I've listened to, and I can't tell you how long. And it's worth a listen as well. Charles Ortel. Yeah, who's that? It doesn't matter. Charles Ortel was on the Hagman Report after I was off. So he came on about 8 o'clock. And he went into a 90-minute explanation of the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative, and how it is the greatest corruption, in his opinion, the greatest corruption in the history of the world, the Clinton Global Initiative, and how it's all put together, and how all of the deep state, Andy McCabe, and all of those guys have been nothing more than agents to protect the Clinton Global Initiative, and the $1 billion that they sent, $1.5 billion, whatever they sent to Iran, in this Iranian deal. Note that the deal was never signed. If you're just going to mow your yard today, well, you have an hour and a half. Listen to this thing, and you just are not going to believe it. And it'll explain to you why the deep state is what it is, and that $1.5 billion, with a B, dollars in cash, C-A-S-H, that the Obama administration gave to Iran. We'll say that again. Cash. C-A-S-H. Pallets of cash. $1.5 billion was used to buy off governments around the world. And all of this money has been pocketed. Nobody knows. You know, the Iranian deal was never signed. You make a deal that, excuse me, they talk about the Iranian deal is never signed. You know that Trump's going to make a decision today on the Iranian deal and whether or not we're going to continue follow through on it. It's an unsigned deal. It is not a deal. There is no Iranian deal. You understand this? And this $1.5 billion that we sent in cash to Iran, well, now we see everybody in the EU doesn't want Trump to pull out of the Iranian thing. Why? Well, because they all got money from it. They're all tied into it. Oh, my goodness. What a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. So I'm going to say that again. Those 2 hours are worth it. Not that the last hour was. It was all good. It was all good last night. But it's that alternative news. That's what we are, alternative truth. The real truth, the alternative news that people just aren't hearing. So, man, I'm in Habakkuk today. What? Habakkuk. I don't even know how, like I said, why would anybody name their child Habakkuk? It's one of what they would call, I suppose, a minor prophet. Habakkuk is three chapters in your Bible. See, some of you said, who? Where? Well, that's what, remember I told you the Holy Spirit punched me? I was getting ready to pray, but as I always do before the show, and the Holy Spirit punched me. And I have some experience with Habakkuk, with this guy. And I want to share it with you today because there's something in here. I haven't read it, but there's something in here for you. Okay? Bear with me. This is crucial for all of us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So the scriptures tell us. And vision is something that goes beyond sight. Sight and vision are not the same thing. Helen Keller said the world is full of people who have sight but have no vision. Helen Keller said that. And I've always somewhat considered myself somewhat of a visionary, the ability to go into a coaching situation, go into something, and what was it Robert Kennedy said? Some men see things as they are and ask why, and some men see things as they are not. Some people see things as they are and ask why not. I'm a why not guy. The way I've always been. My mom always called me a cockeyed optimist. She said, you always see the glass half full, always do. And one of the reasons I think that we are we are so much stuck in mud, I'm talking to myself, preaching to myself now because I got punched, is we are without vision. And vision is only good and only effective if you can share it. An unshared vision is just a dream, an unshared one. And a vision without the meat on the bones to it will soon fade away, man. It will. You know, scripture says where there is no vision, the people perish. And if you look up that word perish, somebody told me this. I don't know this to be true, but it would make sense to me. In the Greek or one of those languages, it's an image of a wild stallion running around in a field without restraint. Where there is no vision, if you don't know where you're going everywhere. And that isn't good. So where there is no vision in your life, I'm talking about you in your life. If you don't have a vision, you're going to find yourself just running around everywhere. And you never, ever seem to be focused and getting something done. You're bouncing from this to this to this to this to this to this. Where there is no vision, you have no direction. That's good, isn't it? It's good. The Holy Spirit helped me to see that. Because we're kind of in a transition here at Coach Dave Live, Pastor Salt Ministries. And I was on the phone today with Jared a little bit before we came on the air. We're talking about something else, and I'm in a transition. We're in a transition. I don't know about you guys. I'm in a pop the clutch mode. I'm ready to pop the clutch and run. But maybe there's a reason why this whole engine ain't revved up yet. The Lord is opening doors for us. I'm telling you, what are the odds to be sitting in sitting in your living room after mowing your yard, just sitting there listening, got an earphone in, talking to my wife, and all of a sudden hear my name on Hagman and Hagman. And in 20 minutes, I'm in, being heard by hundreds of thousands of people. How many people get that opportunity? And if we're not smart enough to understand and see that, that is the push of the button by the Holy Spirit. Dink, dink, your turn, dink. There'd be guys who would give everything they could to get 10 minutes on the Hagman report. They call me, Coach, can you come on? Dink. And if we don't recognize these opportunities, these things that the Lord brings into our lives, and then we deserve whatever we want. So now, oh, we're in habit, Habakkuk. And I joked because I said, why would anybody name their kid Habakkuk? Yes.
Could I make a general comment about what you just said with men?
Uh-huh.
I think you're right on. See, we have good ideas. We desire, many of us on the huddle, others, to serve God, to lead, to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You are in an environment that does not move quickly to assist or to encourage, it will die.
I'm an idea guy. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm an idea guy. And without assistance, that idea will die. Go ahead.
Well, so if you're in an environment, be it church or otherwise, where you have people that are not willing to say, yes, go for it. Go for it. How can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
The tendency is, I'm not saying it's right or wrong necessarily, but sometimes they die. They die. And the devil works at killing them.
Amen.
That is our problem in many areas. Men will come to the table wanting to do something, wanting to lead a ministry, and without some of that common bond that comes from support, it will die, unfortunately, many times. I believe that's the work of the devil.
Amen, Roger. I ditto that.
I ditto that too. That's right. That's why he says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And why is it that every time we hear something from the Lord, we go to somebody who doesn't understand the vision and they bring us down? Not that they bring us down as that they're ungodly, but boys and girls, if you heard from the Lord, why do you have to get somebody else's advice on what you've heard from the Lord? And so, again, being a visionary, being one of those guys who I believe the Lord drops ideas into my heart, my struggle has been with somebody to help me execute the vision. Does that make sense, fellas? Does that make sense?
Hey, Coach, let me chime in here. You know how I am about the simplicity of what the Bible says. You know, there's a lot of Christians that operate on the principle, well, I'm going to follow Gamaliel's advice. I'm going to stand back and watch. If it's of God, it'll work. If it's not of God, it'll die out.
Yeah. Well, right.
Gamaliel was not a saved person. Mm. He was giving it to a bunch of unsaved people.
So unbelievable.
We got people in the church taking his advice.
Yep.
Given
we do.
Saved people by an unsaved person. And if you look at it logically, no ministry would ever prosper if that was a true and accurate advice, because all good Christians would be holding back and waiting and never helping anybody until they see what happens. That
Amen.
Advice in itself is self-destructive in the body of Christ. So Amen. People forget his advice, shove that out of your mind, and never operate on it again.
Because Larry, all things are, with God, all things are possible, right?
Amen.
All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. And we live in a world, a fallen world, where we believe the negative. Our tendency, most of us are hardwired to say no. Most of us are hardwired, when we get a vision, most of us are hardwired not to go forward with it. Most of us are. And Jared said something. He doesn't even know he said this to me. I think it was Jared. Jared, I'll give you credit. If it wasn't you, you can say it. And part of it was my son-in-law. My son-in-law said to me, he asked me this. He said, if we're men and women of God, if the anointing of a God is upon us, and that he wants his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, then riddle me this, Batman, he said to me, he said, the world is full of people who control land, property, everywhere you look, people who are in control of land, property, things, they are the power broker. You can say all you want to about the elected officials. Elected officials, yes, they make the decisions, but the elected officials make the decisions that the power brokers want made. Can everybody say amen on that? The idea that we have elected officials that are making the decisions, how stupid are we? It's being made by the power brokers, right?
Amen. Of course. They're
Amen.
Yeah.
Right. So he said to me, my son-in-law said to me, says, why aren't we building, giving some grace with the words here, why aren't we building a kingdom? Why don't we own from here to there? Why don't we own it? Where is our vision to say this is going to be ours and we're going to build something here for the kingdom of God right here? And, you know, it kind of set me back. I thought, well, yeah, why don't I have that vision to do that? Why don't I? Well, one of the reasons I don't have the vision to do that is because I've learned this from watching others and what goes on. I watch guys get ahead of the vision. You missed it. They get ahead of the vision and they end up creating a monster that they spend all their time feeding. Well, we don't want to do that either. Sometimes they get so frustrated with the growth. When I was on Hagman last night, with the growth of the Salt and Light Brigade, I get so frustrated. It is for now and its time is now. It's not 20 years from now. It's not 10 years from now. It is now. If we don't arise now and do something, we're going to sit on our porch, if we have one, 15 years from now, say, daggone, why didn't we? Why didn't we? And I can remember talking to my mom and dad about the turbulent 60s. Where was the church? I remember the conversation with mom. Where was the church when they took prayer out of school? I was only 9 years old. Where was the church when they took out Bible reading? Where was the church? Where was the church 1973 when they started killing babies? Where was the church? Amen. Where was the church in 1980 when they pulled down the Ten Commandments in Stone versus Graham? Where was the church? Where Amen. Was the church in 2000 when they legalized sodomy? Where was the church? And then you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? As only the Holy Spirit said to, can say to you? Well, the Holy Spirit said to me, yeah, well, they're indoctrinating your neighbor's children in homosexuality. Where are you?
Amen.
It's my turn. It's my time now. See, it's our time now. We don't have an urgency. And we're held back by what? We're held back by the things of the world. Fear. Are you feeling me this morning?
Come on, Coach.
Man, we're at war. We're at war, and we're not acting like it. And if we really believe we are at war, Chad, you listening, Chad? I know he is. Chad's always telling us to prep, to prep, to prep, to prep, to prep. And we're laughing and we're not prepping. And then what's going to happen in 10 years? We're going to say, daggone, I should have listened to Chad. It's too late then. It's now. Habakkuk, I think it is. And by the way, I wrote this down in my Bible, Jared, just for all of you out there laughing at me this morning. I said, why would somebody name their child Habakkuk? Why would you name your kid that? You know what I wrote in my Bible? You know what Habakkuk means? One having spiritual authority.
Wow.
Is that something? Is that something? One having spiritual authority. So I got someplace I want to go. The whole theme of Habakkuk is the enduring faith that God is in control. Now, see, we are so concerned. Sometimes we say to ourselves, well, God's in control, that we don't grab the controls. I'll say that again because you missed it. Lord, Holy Spirit just gave me that. We think God is so much in control that we don't grab the controls. I had the most unbelievable thing yesterday. I got to share this with you, although you're not going to get it. As I'm getting ready to mow the yard yesterday, and my little, God bless my grandson, my namesake David. He loves tractors. He loves trucks. He loves everything manly. How old is he? 2 in October. 3 in October. I don't know how old he is. I don't know. He's a little guy. And every time I fire up the mower, he runs in the house because he doesn't like the sound of it, I guess. I don't know what it was. And so yesterday, it's funny, the faith of a little child to trust an adult, to trust Grampy, to trust whatever. He was standing out there. He likes to put his finger in his mouth. He's standing up and looking at me. And I said, hey, David, come on, get on here and help Grampy mow. The mower was off. And he kind of looks out at me. I said, come on, listen. Grampy will never do anything to hurt you. Come on over here and get on here with me. A blind faith, he walks over and he gets on that, jumps on this. I just bought a zero turn on Craigslist. Be careful what you get on Craigslist. I think I got a good deal. So David gets up. I'm sitting on that zero turn, and David gets up and he stands between my legs on the platform. And I reached over and I cranked that thing up, and that thing takes off, and he's a little bit nervous. Boom, I engage the blades, and then I did this thing. It has these arms. You pull these arms together, and on a zero turn mower, you steer like this. And I took his little hands, and I put his little hands on those bars. I said, okay, Dave, here we go. We're going to mow Grampy's yard. And I showed him all the dandelions down there. So I said, see all those white things, David? We're going to cut down every one of those things. And we started down through there, and we got down to the end of the field. And I said, okay, David, we have to go the other direction. Do this. And I grabbed his hand and said, pull on this. And he pulled back on it, and we turned. And fellas, he was spellbound.
He fell in
for
love.
45 minutes, he never said a word. Stood there with his hands on the controls. Now listen, I was really in control. But he thought he was. You get the picture? Do you get the picture? God's in control. But we got our hands. It's in our hands. If David didn't pull, we didn't turn. That's good.
That's right.
Amen.
Powerful, powerful moment. So let me get you in Habakkuk here. What's it mean? Huh? One of spiritual authority. That's me. That's you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So stay with me. I'm taking you somewhere here. I'll begin in verse 1, Jared. Of 1. 1-1. Let's go 1-1, Jared, because I have to do that to get to where I told you to put in it. My fault. 1-1. The burden. Boy, can somebody say amen right there? Can somebody amen, say brother. Amen right there? The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Lord. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and you're not going to hear me? Even cry out unto thee of violence and you don't say it. Why does you show me sin and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence, they're all around me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. It's like Habakkuk's in my sitting on the back porch with me. Why do you show me iniquity? Oh, I'm sorry. Where am I? I'm 4, Jared. Therefore is the law slacked, and judgment doth not go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous, and therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Do you guys see this? Do you understand what he's saying to us? We're encompassed about with the wicked, and we're getting lousy judgments. We're getting lousy judgments from us. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a... Ooh, Lord! For I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe they'll be told to you. Habakkuk says, the Lord says, I'm going to do something so great that if I told you, you'd never believe it. That's why he can't tell you. He can't tell you. You don't have the faith to believe it. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. The Chaldeans are doing it now. They're marching through and taking property and land doesn't belong to them. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment, their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are swifter than the leopard. Is this us looking at the enemy, at our enemy? Is this us? Is this ever us? The powerless church. Their horses are also swifter than leopards and are far more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity at the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be scorned unto them, and they shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. That's happening right around us now. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing to his power unto his God. So Habakkuk cries out, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction." He says, you brought those guys here for us to bring something down on them. You are pure. Thou art of pure eyes and to behold evil. You cannot look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Says, Lord, how can you let this go on? He maketh men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net. They gather them in their drag. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad as the homosexual movement gobbles up our children. We couldn't care less. Therefore, they sacrifice unto the net, their net. Oh, Lord. And burn incense unto their drag, because of them their portion is fat and their meat is plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and do not spare continually to slay the nations? Are you guys getting the picture of what Habakkuk's crying about here? One who does what? One who speaks with authority. He says, Lord, how long are you going to let this mess go on? How long, Lord, are you going to let this go on? And then finally, remember, there are no chapter verses. There are no chapters. Somebody put them in there. And then look what happens here. Finally, Habakkuk grows some. He grows some stones. He grows some hair. Right? And look what happens. Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch. And I'm going to set me upon the tower. And I'm going to watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So Habakkuk said, listen, I'm going up here. I'm going up to this high place. And Lord, I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to wait for an order. I'm going to wait for you to tell me something to do. They're eating us up around here, Lord. They're eating us alive. The amazing thing happened. And the Lord answered. Huh? The Lord answered. And he said, write the vision. Psst. Hey, write the vision. Why? Write the vision and make it plain upon the tablet. Make it very concise and very clear that whoever reads it can run with it. Write the vision, make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. He has a vision. He knows where he's going. It is written down. Look, why? For the vision is yet for an appointed time. And at the end, it'll speak. It won't lie. Though it tarries, though it doesn't come right away, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith. I could continue on, but I'm not going to. That's what I want to talk about. Vision and writing it down and running with it. Believing the Lord to do greater things than we could ever imagine the Lord wants to do. and the hindrances and the things that we hold them back are only just delusions in our own head. Fear, false evidence appearing real. That's all it is. Fear. You can't do this. You can't do that. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. They're going to come after you. They're going to come after you. And as a result, we sit paralyzed. Doug Hagman last night on the show, you know, crying, who's going to do this, man? Somebody's going to do this. Who's going to do this? Why not us? If not us, who? Not now, when? Who's going to do it?
Amen, brother.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What a message. Wow. You know, remember when we did the thing on prayer and I said one of the lessons God taught me was that he's not in the business of overriding people's free will?
Yes, sir. I remember that.
That has a whole lot to do with this, you know, believing God's going to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
Situation. This goes on. So many people are sitting around waiting for God to force them to do something when his way is to lead you and guide you into doing it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Because why? It's me and Dave. It's me and David on the lawnmower. He's just trying to say, David, pull that thing. Turn it. Just all you got to do is pull. Just pull and it'll turn. And we don't want it to. We want him to turn it for us, right? I'm looking for something. Somebody jump in here.
Just as it was God and David that led, it was God in David that led David, little David, to go up in front of the entire Israeli army and slay Goliath.
Amen. It was, man. It was, right?
He did not pull the trigger on the slingshot.
He did not. He did not. In fact, David had trained and prepared himself for that very moment, right? And
right.
We know the story of Joshua and Caleb, right? We know that story. Joshua and Caleb, they went out to spy the spies. They were spies. And they went out to see the enemy and how many it were, and they came back. Where is that? Is that in Numbers 13? Yeah, Jared, go to Numbers 13. I think so. Yes. Yes, Numbers 13. Guys, we got to see this. Wow. Send out the spies. We know about the spies. Jared, go down to 13. Get down 31. So they all go out there, and they went out and they scouted out the enemy, and all the spies come back. And some of the spies say, oh, my goodness, those guys are in our eyes giants. We're grasshoppers in their eyes. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that where it's? I don't have it in front of me. Verse 33. Oh, just go to verse 32. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Everybody's out there griping and moaning and saying, oh, it's the most beautiful land. You ever saw? It's got great big grapes. Oh, Lord, if we could ever, Lord, oh, Lord, it's just something. We could just go get that land. And they're going on and on. And Caleb stands up and he stilled the people before Moses and said, hey, boys, let us go up right now. Let's take it right now. We're more than able. Everybody else is scared. Caleb had a vision. We're capable. Let's go do it. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, oh, we can't do that. We're not able to go up against them. Well, they've got the courts and they've got the schools and they've got, oh my goodness, they got Hollywood. They control everything. We can't do it. And they'll slay us. They'll make fun of us. They'll put our name in the paper. They'll sue us. They're going to do all that. We can't. Who are we? Can't do. They're stronger than we are.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on, George. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, George. Go ahead, George.
Hey, I was just going to say, you know, I think almost all the time when we're really doing God's will and we're moving forward, it's going to seem like the odds are against us, especially against the world. If you look biblically, it's always seemed like that. And I really believe that's because God just asks us to move forward. He'll open and close the right doors, but He'll Amen. Never share his glory with anyone else. It can't look like we did it on our own power. Amen. We just got to do what we can do, and it's going to be God's power working through us, accomplishing his will.
Amen, George. Verse 32. and they brought up an evil report of the land. Who did? These other guys? These guys that are scared? Right? Didn't we just see that? Jared, go back to 31. Come on, Mayor. Make the connection. Make the connection. But the men that went up with him said, no, we can't do it. We can't do it, Lord. We're not strong enough. They're too powerful. And look what the Lord said. They brought up an evil report. He says, that's an evil report. Lack of faith, that's evil, the Lord said. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that's eaten up with the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there were some giants. They had the presidency, and they had the House of Representatives. They had everything. And we're just little people down here. We can't do anything. And the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. By the way, we could talk about the giants, couldn't we? Huh? And we were, look at this. Don't ever forget this. And we were, Jared, highlight this, in our own sight as grasshoppers. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But in our own sight, we ain't nothing. We can't do nothing. We don't have the confidence to do anything. The next verse, I think, Jared, could be wrong. And all the congregation lift up the voice and cried, oh, doggone it. Oh, I wanted those big grapes and we could have done so much if we could have just got the schools back. Oh, but we can't. They're just big, bad, and strong. Woe is me. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? Oh, no! And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? You mean we came all this way, and these guys are going to kill us, and our wives and our children are going to be turned into prey? Wouldn't it have been better if we'd have just stayed back there and gone? Yeah, coach, if you'd have just kept your mouth shut, he hadn't started this thing, we could be living in peace. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Blah, blah, blah. I go on and on. Caleb says, no, we're more than able, man. Let's go do it right now. I could go on. You with me, guys?
Amen, brother. Right here.
Amen, coach.
See, the church have vision statements and mission statements, and they don't really follow them. They don't really follow them.
Say, coach, can I lay something up for thought?
Please.
So I would ask this. Who is our biblical role model? What's our strategy? What's our vision? Now let me go on. At God's command, not his hint, Noah prepped. Abraham came out of Ur. Moses staged job actions. David and Gideon at first led insurgencies. Then David and Joshua led armies of millions. John the Baptist went native and preached revival. Jesus led a very few, and he spoke to a few, and he confronted the power of the age. He didn't have any protests. He didn't have any insurrections. Out of all the millions of Israel and Judah, at that time, he reached only a few thousand. So of those guys, and there are many others, we need to, what's our vision? What's our strategy? What is God telling us? You go back and look at each one of these guys. Not a one of them felt something that they were supposed to do. God put his finger on them and said, go do this. And by and large, with the exception of John the Baptist and Jesus, they didn't say, oh boy, let me go do it. They said, what?
Me?
Oh, no. No. I'm not going to do this.
And he said, oh, my. Oh, my.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's why I lay on the table. What's our vision? What's our strategy? What is God commanding us to do that we know? that we should do, as opposed to wanting to do something ourselves, which is vanity. Amen. We want to do something. You know, we want to do something, but what is he telling us to do at this point, given what he's done in the past?
Like the men of Issachar, who understood the times in which they lived and knew what it was that Israel needed to do. I think that's a great word, Lowell. I think that's a great, great word.
Hey, Coach.
So, yeah.
If we don't go, we won't do. Failure is never going and trying anything. If we will simply obey the simplicities of Mark chapter 16, Matthew chapter 28, go. When you go, what? God says, in that very hour, I'll give you the words to speak. Amen.
Mm-hmm. It's like when we were talking about Stephen, when Stephen was being stoned, when the Lord saw his faith, when the Lord, and wherever the Lord is, saw his faith, he stood up. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Wouldn't it be amazing? What would it be like if we lived unbelievable faith? What would that be like?
Well, Jesus told his disciples it'd be like telling a mountain that you go jump on the water, and it would.
It would be unbelievable, isn't it? And doesn't the opposite hit us? Doesn't, when we catch a vision, we catch something we want to do, doesn't fear immediately come? It's always fear that stops us.
Dave.
Now, there's a difference between wisdom and fear, but boys and girls, pragmatism, it's fear that stops us. Yeah, Rog?
Earlier in the and a little where people type in to make statements, somebody said the word godly resistance. And not every bit of godly resistance has to be huge. But I don't see much godly resistance. If I was to say, okay, hello guys, show me in our culture where there is godly resistance, I think we would be hard pressed outside of some of the ministries we're involved in to even see it. Or it's not. Or where is it? The godly resistance, even on a small scale, is lacking. And we can all participate in a small scale of godly resistance.
Amen. Amen. There is no godly resistance. Go, Lowell.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
That wasn't me that piped in.
I'm sorry. I thought it was. Whoever. It's go ahead. Tom.
Hey, you know.
Hey. Hang on. Hey, go ahead, Pastor Tom. Go ahead.
Hey, I've been listening, and I think a lot of us fall prey sometimes, and I know I have, to the when and then. When I get this, then I can. Then I can. Yeah. And I think I remember in a football game one time, the way we've trained kids always is to play in the now. You can't worry about the play you just did, or you can't worry about doing the one before. You got to play in the now. Mm-hmm. And I remember moment in a football game. It was very strategic. We were right at the brink of it. And one of the boys who was a leader of the team, or is about to become much more of a leader in that team, came out of the game. He'd been playing hard all game. He tapped his helmet, wanted to come out. And he came over and he said, I need a break, Coach. And you looked at him and you grabbed his shoulder pad and you said, we don't need you in the next play. We don't need you. You've already played. We need you now.
We need you now.
And that kid, his eyes lit up and went back in there, lit up the game. And I think that's what you're doing to a lot of us. And a lot, I mean, I think even God's done that. I can see in your life. I think God's grabbed us all a little bit by the shoulder pads, looked in our eyes and said, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. You take care of it
now.
You be obedient today. Your tomorrows will be okay.
Amen. Because you don't have tomorrow, amen. Right?
Yep,
you don't have tomorrow.
Hey, I think everybody would do
good well. Good word, Tom. Good word.
Thank
you. I think everybody would do well to remember that 2/3 of God is go.
Larry, you didn't make that up. Did you? You stole that from somebody.
I probably.
You're that smart. You ain't that smart. You ain't that smart, Larry.
He's smart.
So you understand? You understand? Remember I told you the Holy Spirit punched me? This wasn't what I had prepared. The Holy Spirit punched me. How can we believe for big things when we won't do the little thing? We can't believe for the little thing in front of us. We can't believe for that. We believe that everything that happens has to be some type of miraculous intervention of God. Really? Really? No. To obey is better than to sacrifice. The average, everyday hearing of his voice, whatever he says unto you, do, that's walking in faith. That's it.
Amen.
And a lot of times it don't even make sense. I come back from some events. My wife will say, how did it go? And I said, yeah, went okay. What was that all about? I don't know. But I just did what I was supposed to do. And where would we be if just the guys here in the queue, if we just did what the Lord laid on our hearts to do? But, you know, we don't. We always, I can't do it because of this, and I can't do it because of that, and I can't do it because of this and that. And that. I'd like to, but I just can't. Them big guys, I'm just a grasshopper. What can I do? Well, it ain't about you. And greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you. And we don't operate. We don't live like it. And for the most part, come on, for the most part, the church has cried uncle. Isn't that what we just read in Habakkuk? Jared, can we go back there to Habakkuk 2? was it Habakkuk 2? Yeah. Yeah. No. There it is. Yeah, verse 6 of 2. I think it is. Shall not all these that take up apparel against him and a taunting proverb against him say, woe unto him that increases that which is not his? How long? And him that laden him himself with thick clay, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee and awake those that vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Because of men's blood and for the violence of the land and of the city and of all the dweller under them. Woe to them that covet, and evil covetousness to this house, that he may be set on his high nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted to thy house by the cutting of many people and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber and shall answer it. And woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establishes a city upon sin. Behold, is it not the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoils of the beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood. For the violence of the land and of the city and of all that dwell in. What profit the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image and the teacher of lies that maketh of his works trusts therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith unto the wood, awaken, wood, waken, you dumb statue we made, and to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple, and all the earth keeps silent before him. The fear of the Lord, we've all lost. Boys and girls, if we stand before God and we answer for what we did not do, if he judges us on that, I'm in trouble. Golly, it's 10 till.
Hey, anybody, Coach.
Come on in. Yes.
Hey, Coach. It's not a matter of if you just said if we stand before God, it's a when we stand before God, because we all will give an account.
We all will, brother. We know for us to know to do good, not to do it to us, is a sin.
Yeah, hey, he knows good.
So fellas, let's ask ourselves this, really and truly. They are teaching sodomy to little children. What's our reaction? What's been our reaction to it? No outrage. Nobody defending righteousness. Nobody defending the Lord. There's only one or maybe two reasons why. Fear and greed. We don't want people to take what we have. We don't want to lose what we got.
Hey, Coach.
So therefore, it's okay to bang that little kid. Teach that little kid how to perform Sodom. It's okay. Doesn't affect me. Go ahead, Jeff.
I just want to say I appreciate this morning. Just everything you're saying and the word, the scripture you're reading. Because, you know, today is election day.
Yep.
And this thing has been building up here in Mount Vernon. And I believe, I've been telling
Jeff, hang on. Jeff's running for county commissioner. He's on the ballot today. Go ahead, Jeff.
As we've been going through this, and I've had hundreds and hundreds of people tell me they're going to vote for me. I had a couple business owners last night call me at my house. And the one, his wife is on city council, which one of the guys running is the city council president. They called to tell me, said, listen, Jeff, we're voting for you. Our son-in-law and daughter are voting for you. I had a doctor the other day with his wife voting for him. All these people. But you read some of the things I put in the article and the other one. And these people are just, there's some of them, the liberal out there, the left is just hammering me. I wanted to read this little couple paragraphs that come out yesterday. Friday in the letter of the editor. Listen to this. And I think they're going to be shocked today. After listening to the debate in the Mount Vernon MVNU Knox County Commissioners a few weeks ago, my husband and I left shaking our heads in wonder. Dave said to me, Bruce Hawkins is such an obvious best choice for the position that it's hard to believe anyone wouldn't see that. Mr. Klein had no relevant experience whatsoever and had appeared to be running for a church position rather than an administrative position. When they clearly didn't have a clue what they were talking about, they just threw out some religious statement to appear like good moral public leaders. I'm the daughter of a pastor, and I remember being shocked when Mr. Klein took a bullhorn to the public square last year and began mocking and hurling insults at us repeatedly for holding up signs supporting health care. Mine said everyone deserves decent health care. Well, that put me in a position in his mind to be publicly insulted and mocked. How could someone like that bring people together? Remember when you were up on the square with us?
I remember it well.
So today is the day, brother, and I appreciate this morning's message.
So, Jeff, we're going to pray for you here before we're done, that the Lord's will would be done. But see, I was thinking about this the other day, folks. This is how cockeyed we are, the church is, right? Jeff Klein is a freak. Why is he a freak? Because he stands for righteousness, holiness, and honesty. And he's a freak to where a pastor's daughter can't even recognize truth. So it is amazing, man. It is amazing. And so I said last night on Hagman again, we're counterculture. Jeff Klein is swimming upstream. He's swimming upstream. And the only reason he would not win that position is because Christians are going to say, well, he's too religious. Or Christians are going to say, I'd vote for him, but he can't win. He can't win.
Amen.
He's too radical. If he just didn't put so much of that Jesus stuff out there, he might be able to win. See, we're counterculture. It's nothing for the other opponents to stand up and talk about sodomy and giving sodomy rights to this person and to this group and sod. And if Jeff comes along, mentions the name of Jesus, we have to have a higher standard. Oh no, we're counterculture. That's where we've fallen. Let me pray for you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you've raised up Jeff, Lord. I thank you that he came out of the hiding, that he came out of the cave of Adullam. He quit hiding, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you put a slingshot in his hand and a stone, and you sent him running at that giant, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a reprobate age, and that even the hearing of the believers are dull. And I just pray that if it be your will, that you would just move upon right now, Lord, even right now, as people go into the ballot box, they're going to get in there, and they're going to vote for righteousness, Lord. We thank you for Jeff, his willingness to put himself out there, Lord, his willingness to take a stand, and especially, Lord, his willingness to give you the credit and the glory publicly And we pray that you would honor that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. Amen, Jeff.
Amen, brother.
Huh? Amen. You're on the right side, baby. You're on the right side. I got 4 minutes. Somebody jump in there. I didn't get nearly where I was going.
Rusty will jump in, coach. Rusty will jump in.
Coach. Hey, Rusty, let me get you up here on the screen, man. I got to find you. Rusty, bless you, man.
Good morning.
Give us an update there real quick. Rusty, we got thousands of people that are listening and following your story. Give us an update there, brother.
Well, today's the day the Lord's have made, brother. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Just got a couple of things we got to take care of this morning, and I'm on my way back to Houston to dig in with my son. Kendra's been holding down the fort at MD Anderson, and, of course, she's keeping the prayer vigil going. Pastor Dale came with the troops from Louisiana, did a fantastic job, brother. Our house is just being renovated, Maximus, to, you know, prepare for the time when Jeremiah comes home. And, of course, he brought his guitar, and
ooh,
he can jump on that piano, buddy. And
amen.
We're just worshiping the Lord and singing praises unto him and just interceding, coach. Not quite sure where this is taking us. We just know the Lord's in it, buddy.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. Huh? We've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Right, Rusty? But not I. Christ lives within us, Lord. And whatever he brings into us, brother, we deal with it.
It's just like what the Apostle Paul talked about, brother. You know, you're pressed on every side. You're persecuted. You know, you're struck down, but you're not destroyed. You know, this is the life, brother, of those who seek the Lord and those who want to worship him in spirit and truth, those that want to live by faith and storm the gates of hell. Brother, this is a battle, and it rages Amen. From within, and it rages from without. And, you know, buddy, just keep your eye on the prize, buddy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
Rusty, if I understand it, Rusty, they did do some surgery on Jeremiah yesterday, inserted some stents and different things like that into him.
Well, it wasn't a major surgery,
right,
brother.
Right.
They put a pick in San Diego while he was there where they can draw labs and put the IV in him. When we got to MD Anderson, it didn't kind of meet their standards. And so they put in a longer pick, and it was closer to the heart, the main artery there, brother. And the purpose is once they start doing the treatments, it goes right through his heart, bam, right through the rest of his body. And so they're getting him prepped, buddy, and they're going to go after this thing, bro. And we're trusting God he's going to obliterate this cancer and set my son free. And then we'll discuss him walking and running again. I think, amen, you know, coach, we've had two opinions that he ain't going to walk again.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you, my son, that's just not acceptable. You know,
whose report will you believe, right, Rusty? Whose report will you believe?
Well, coach, he's a football player. You more than anybody else should know what's burning in his heart, buddy.
Yeah.
And so he wants to, obviously, he wants to take this thing on and take it out. And I didn't know if you heard this testimony, coach, but I think this would really encourage the folks who are praying and with us to understand the caliber of young man we're dealing with here. You know, when you're facing a life-threatening disease, there's that Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Right.
And they've already contacted him, coach, and they said, hey, kid, listen, you're in a good place. You can go anywhere you want. You can meet anyone famous, The Rock, you know, Tim Tebow. You know, you can do sort of a legacy thing and benefit others. And he thought and he prayed, coach, and this is the plan if he gets to make the wish. He wants to sit down wheelchair to wheelchair with Governor Abbott and demand abortion be abolished in the state of Texas.
This
is his Make-A-Wish, buddy. I mean, I mean, this is a 16-year-old kid, buddy. You know what I mean? It's a 16-year-old kid. And this is what's burning in his heart. And I mean, he thinks this. He believes it. He's 16 years old. What kid? you know, on your deathbed, you know, think about stuff like this, buddy. But I'm telling you, God's got his attention, brother. It's weird, Coach. I got to tell you, it is so doggone weird, man, because God is in him. God is working through him. And, of course, we're hoping that at the end of the day, God does a miracle and raises him back up.
Amen, Rusty. Rusty, you're not walking this alone. You may feel like you're alone, brother, but you're not walking it alone. I know you know that.
And the I've been surrounded, buddy, with, well, you always got your detractors, Coach, that rejoice in your afflictions. But I think you know what that's like.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what, Coach, so many people, not just in America, brother, tens of thousands in America are watching this story unfold, and they can't get enough of it, buddy. It's almost like a Netflix binge, man. They're waiting for the next episode. It's unbelievable. But besides that, buddy, you know, we've heard from over seven nations, Coach. Seven nations that have been touched by this, and their hearts have been stirred. And what I find, buddy, they don't know Jeremiah, they don't know us, but God is using this to plow their hearts. People find themselves weeping and interceding. I had a guy that I haven't heard from in over 30 years, a good friend of mine from California. He called me out of nowhere. I haven't heard him from 3 decades. And he said, Rusty, I'm just telling you this. The Lord is not yawning at this. He said, God has knocked me to the ground with groanings that cannot be uttered. He said, I haven't been in this state of intercession and travail in over 3 decades. And he said, I'm telling you, I find myself just weeping, waking up in the middle of the night, crying out to God on the behalf of Jeremiah. He says, I just want you to know the Lord is not yawning when it comes to your son. He is doing something in the hearts of men.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, Rusty, we love you, man. And, there's light at the end of this tunnel, brother. I know you know that. I know that you walk that walk, and give our best to Jeremiah. Let him know how proud we are of him, and we continue to lift all of you up, hold you up in prayer, brother. And got good brothers like Dale come running to the aid, and others that are just standing in line saying, "What can we do next, man?" So you've been an inspiration to all of us, Rusty.
Well, we love you, Coach, and all the saints, buddy. I tell you what. I know we got our problems in the church, buddy. I know the church is sometimes pitiful and pathetic, but I am telling you, buddy, God's people are the best people. God's people are the best people. In spite of our flaws and our weaknesses and, you know, sometimes being disobedient to the Lord, God's people are the best people. And praise the Lord.
We're the A team, aren't we, brother?
Yeah. I love it when a plan comes together.
Love it when the plan comes together. God bless you, Rusty. Give our best.
All right, love you, Coach. Thanks, guys.
All right, bless you all. Wow. That's a good one to finish on, man. Yeah. Run the race. As I said before you, run it. Run it. Write the vision. Make it plain. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.